It is now my honor to introduce our commencement speaker. Jenna Lee Nardella is a 2004 Whitworth graduate and co-founder of Blood Water Mission, an organization she helped to create with the Grammy Award-winning band Jars of Clay. Jenna earned her bachelor's degree in political science and met the members of Jars of Clay when they performed on campus. She has been featured in publications such as Christianity Today, Sojourners Magazine, and Relevant Magazine, and in the documentary film Sons of Luwala. Her collaborative writing includes titles such as Hope in the Dark, published by Relevant Books in 2006, Zealous Love, published by Zondervan in 2009, and The Revolution, a field manual for changing your world, published by Relevant Books in 2006. Jenna serves on the board of the Center for Nonprofit Management and the Vanderbilt Institute for Global Health. She and her husband, James, who is also here with us today, live in Nashville, Tennessee, and travel often to Africa. Jenna's passion for sharing her time and talents for the benefit of others is evident in the success and effectiveness of Blood Water Mission. Since its founding in 2005, Blood Water Mission has raised millions of dollars through the creative efforts of tens of thousands of individuals seeking to make a difference. To date, Blood Water Mission has partnered with more than 1,000 communities in Africa, providing life-saving water and health care for more than 600,000 people in 13 countries. Along the way, its 1,000 Wells project has expanded to include a variety of clean water solutions, sanitation, hygiene training, and capacity building of its local grassroots partners to improve their ability to develop sustainable programs. Blood Water Mission has also funded health clinics, community health workers, and support groups, which help in the prevention, treatment, care, and support of communities affected by AIDS. Jenna's exemplary leadership, heartfelt service, and commitment to those things that matter most are indicative of an education of mind and heart. We applaud her for embodying what it means to honor God, follow Christ, and serve humanity. Please join me in welcoming Jenna Lee Nardella.
Good afternoon. I am so glad to be here today. And for you seniors graduating class of 2012, take a deep breath really quick. Look around and see your friends and family that are here. This is an amazing moment, and I think it's important to just acknowledge that you're here and all of your fans, friends, family are here with you. And a special happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and grandmothers who are here. I'm sure you are so proud. I'm really thankful for the opportunity to have gotten to know some of you through the survey that I sent you in March. About 250 of you responded, and it gave me a window into the things that you were thinking about, the fears that you had, what you were excited about, and so I feel like I know you just a little bit more. If I look at it today from this vantage point, Blood Water Mission is an incredible story. 600,000 people with clean water, $15 million raised, 3 HIV clinics serving thousands of patients, tens of thousands of American supporters, 15 staff, 11 countries, 8 years of operation. But had you invited me here in my first year after graduation, I would have told you a different story about failure and doubt. If you look at the amount of time it takes in Africa for corn to grow or for a girl to walk with her bucket to the nearest watering hole, you will find that the pace of life and the growth of people follow the pace and growth of the land. Or if you're a witness to the achievement of a community coming together to build its own rainwater catchment tank, only to be followed by an unexpected season of drought, you realize an uneven path in all things. And my life, since I crossed this stage 8 years ago, has also followed that same course. In Kenya, they say pole pole, or slowly by slowly. In Zambia, they say panono panono, brick by brick. And they are not referring to just speed or pace, but also the uneven up and down, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back nature of both work and life amidst challenging circumstances, broken relationships, and deep-set cultural constraints. There's never an expectation that life will go smoothly or that you will reach your destination with expediency. Slowly by slowly expects ebb and flow, sees healthcare happening in the midst of overwhelming sickness, brings 10,000 liters of water even if 100,000 are needed. Brick by brick, there are hospital wings and freshwater wells, and yet HIV and cholera still persist. Slowly by slowly, we wage the long defeat and seek after the new heavens in the midst of a nearly blinding brokenness. As young Americans, we are tempted to live quickly by quickly. We face a series of resounding questions, questions that often elicit a sense of fight or flight. By the time you answer, where are you going to college, you are on to, what are you majoring in? And then to, so what are you planning on doing after college? I did ask you that in the survey as well. But whether you are entering the perfect job in the perfect city with the perfect salary or moving your things back home for the time being, the substance of your life does not hinge upon the correct answers to these questions today. Life comes more brick by brick. It comes through faithful action and practice. So, whether you are in the 72% of you who are stepping directly into an internship, job, or graduate school, or in the 9% who are planning to do some kind of traveling, or in the 20% who are still uncertain, my message is the same, slowly by slowly. In my senior year at Whitworth, while leading the campus chapter of Student Global AIDS campaign, I had the opportunity to meet the members of the band Jars of Clay while they came to play on campus. The band had just begun their own conversations about two significant challenges in Africa, the HIV/AIDS pandemic and the water crisis. They dreamt of starting their own organization that would engage their audience in the issues of clean blood and clean water in Africa by the name of Blood Water Mission. I heard their vision for this as they walked through the loop with me together, and I became excited about how this mission could be a powerful vehicle of love and change in the world. I somehow convinced the band that an eager and committed college student was exactly what they needed to start their nonprofit. So as soon as I graduated, I packed my car and drove to Nashville, not entirely sure where that actually was, and began the next chapter of my life. It was both exciting and terrifying. I asked you in my survey what you were afraid of upon graduation. Besides one of you who answered squirrels, and another of you who answered the wrath of Leonard Oakland, most of you share common fears, and one of them is the feeling of having to start all over again in a new place. I can relate. Like you, I had established an incredible community, life, and identity at Whitworth, and I had to leave it. I picked up and moved to Nashville, which I found out is in Tennessee, and all of a sudden I was just Jenna from Spokane, Washington, feeling disoriented about where I was and certainly confused about who I was. There was no manual for making such a transition, nor for starting Blood Water Mission and its first major campaign, the 1,000 Wells Project, a lofty goal to provide 1,000 African communities with access to safe water. I didn't have a place to live, I was not being paid, I had no financial capital to start the organization, and outside of the band, I knew no one in Nashville. After my triumphal exit from Whitworth, I began my first task in a musty room in the basement of an old church, furnished with an overused table and metal folding chair like the ones you see in most fellowship halls. I stared at my computer, and sometimes I just stared at the wall as I considered the task in front of me. I worked alone in that office until it got dark and showed up each night in a new place with a small duffel bag hanging over my shoulder. One night, a guest bedroom. One night, a dorm room. One night, a tour bus with the band. And many nights, in tears. It was a slowly by slowly experience. I ached for the luxury of my Bopel suite and the comfort of community that felt like family. While my classmates might have looked at me with envy on graduation day, they didn't know, and I didn't know, that I would spend my first months of glory as a college graduate wondering if I had made some grand mistake. It was daunting to feel as though I needed to start all over again. And in a way, I did have to start all over again. and you will too. None of us in this room are expecting that you will have it all figured out as soon as you step out of these doors, but we are expecting that you will find ways, slowly by slowly, and in jumps and starts, to practice what you have learned. As Paul says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Isaiah delivers an ambitious mandate that weighs heavy on those of us who, through Whitworth, have examined issues of justice, poverty, faith, and conviction. The call is to loose the bonds of injustice, undo the thongs of the yoke, let the oppressed go free, share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house, clothe the naked. But let me be a witness that these are not things that happen all at once. The challenge is to wake up each day and live out the actions of your vocation, slowly by slowly, to faithfully enter into the world. They do not require an advanced degree, a fancy job title, or even being debt-free. Already, through service learning, CORE, Jan Term, mentorship from the staff and faculty, deep friendships with one another, and 4 years of integrating the learning of the mind and heart, your education has prepared you for these actions. You can live them out wherever you are, wherever you start tomorrow, and keep practicing them. Loose, undo, share, bring, clothe. Slowly by slowly, these actions will add up and your life will tell a story, a marvelous story. From my experience, a commitment to this pole pole, panono panono life is more delightful than I could have imagined. You are equipped because I know you are. My greatest advice to you is to simply start. Some of you will want to sprint and some of you are paralyzed by how to begin, but my recommendation is that you faithfully practice the slowly by slowly approach to your vocation. These are rich years for your own development of skill set, faith, love, family, and growth. It takes intense commitment and strategic decisions to actualize your goals in the world, but don't forget to take it slowly. You're stepping into a time in history that moves faster than ever before. If we can get our movie downloaded within a couple of minutes or have a text message sent to the other side of the world in mere seconds, then certainly we should be able to meet our vocational dreams within a day as well. But life is not a sprint, and real change happens in stops and starts. Accomplishment mingles with failure. And you need to give yourself permission to accept that you will experience both. The dream for the 1,000 Wells Project began with $1. We knew that $1 would provide a year of water for someone in Africa. So we started asking for $1 at a time. Over the years, that $1 became $20 and $100. And today, more than $15 million, with countless hiccups along the way. I am baffled at the adventure that life can be, the story that God will write you in if you let him. As much as Whitworth has given you a window into the world, there's an even greater one to explore and to serve. My life has become a rhythm of straddling two very different continents, North America and Africa, bouncing between the two places every few months, soaking in relationships and hardships, triumphs and joys, and utilizing the platform I have been given to inspire others to come along. And in the slowly by slowly approach, sometimes the greatest blessings show up walking right alongside you. In 2006, I traveled to New York to attend a global water event at the United Nations. As I was leaving, a kind young man gave me directions to the subway. 3 months later, that same guy and I bumped into each other in the Amsterdam airport, both boarding the same plane to Kenya. We sat together and talked for 7 hours, and we found mutuality like we had never experienced before. In the midst of practicing my own vocation, I met someone whose vocation and worldview align with mine. James and I have now been married for 4.5 years and are real partners in mission. He runs a separate nonprofit focused in Western Kenya, and we balance the commitments of marriage, community, and family between our Nashville home and our Kenyan one. Life for us is rich, regardless of wealth, status, or the pressure of consumerism. We have found deep delight by living out the pole pole vocation. I read through the survey answers you gave me on who you hope to become. The things that you listed brought me to tears. I thought, my God, what wonderful people exist in this class. Your dreams are what the world needs, and you may think that your ideas of who you are and who you want to become are similar to everyone else's, but when you do leave the pinecone curtain, you will see how unique you are. So your job, regardless of what next year feels like, is to step into the world, slowly by slowly, and put into practice that which you have been given. On the other side of your degrees waits a world aching for transformation, and you have been given the tools to be agents of that slow yet desperately needed change. Whether you know it or not, this place has instilled in you common threads, genuine concern for others, growth of character, and a recognition that God really does invite you to participate in seeking the kingdom. If each of you remain faithful to the dreams you wrote about, faithful through the stops and starts, faithful through the lonely days in basement offices, faithful in the face of an often unjust world, then you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever you have learned or received or heard, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.